What is going on, everybody? We are back. This is episode 274 of the Dark Windows podcast. It's also episode 2 of the 2024 Asshole Eliminator Invitational Tournament.
Yes.
So we didn't go last week, obviously. We had some stuff going on, some family things.
Yep. Unfortunately, you know, things happen. And I'm probably, it sounds like I'm going to have more of them, so.
Yeah. But to recap, last time we were here all together as a family, big happy family, we had our hardest debate so far between all of the tournaments we've done.
Yeah,
for sure. A winner, where I honestly thought it was going to be a little bit more clear cut in NBF's favor than it was, but made strong arguments and Bathory held her own and Nathaniel Bedford Forrest ended up moving forward.
Yeah, and I guess I didn't really
we had to bring in a third party.
Yeah.
to decide.
I don't know if I actually even paid attention to the page because I guess with everything happening, so I didn't really see if anybody commented on whether we thought that we made the right choice or not. But you know, if you thought we made the right choice or not. Didn't make the right choice, let us know.
Mm-hmm.
Still, I mean, you know, comment.
For sure.
Please, be interactive. We like that.
So for this matchup, who do you have?
I have Shea Guevara.
Oh, okay.
And you have?
And I have Ilsa Koch. Koch, whatever.
Ilsa Koch.
Yeah, she sucks. Yeah, I don't think this one is going to require much debate as to who moves on, unfortunately.
No. I if you listen to Patreon, well,
Kevin's already conceded this round.
Yeah, I pretty much have.
Well, I mean, that's it. We'll just move on with and see you guys next week.
No. I think I'm pretty much gonna,
because we could get some debate on this one from people. So why don't you lead us off with your scumbag du jour?
All right. Well, I was gonna actually ask if I could lead off anyway.
Yeah, you know what? You can.
Fine.
Permission granted.
Be like that then. So, Shea Guevara, who I chose, and I don't know if I'm regretting that choice or what.
I think you should be.
But you know what? At the same time, I'm not really regretting it because I got to learn more about this guy.
Correct.
And what he stood for. Well, and it was kind of he's really kind of an interesting guy. I heard that.
Yeah, I think he's a piece of shit, but.
No, I don't think he's much of a piece of shit as everybody thinks. Let me get into it.
I'm just trying to get the. Okay, here we go. So he was your third round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Just wanted to get that pulled up to verify.
Yep.
So we have your third round going up against my. She was actually my sixth seed. She was my final pick.
Wow.
In the tournament.
Huh.
And well, for the draft at least.
I was trying to avoid, you know, picking the obvious in a way. I could have picked her like soon, but I was like, no.
No.
They would have been like, oh, of course, the Nazi picks the Nazi.
I mean, you did get one of them.
That's true.
You couldn't take both.
That's true. I could have, but.
I definitely, we'll get to him when we get to him, but yeah.
So let's jump into it. So. Shea Guevara. He was not born Shea Guevara. That's not his real name.
No.
His real name is Ernesto Guevara.
Scumbag.
Born May 14th of 1928. He was the first of five children. Born to Ernesto Guevara Lynch and...
I'm sorry, what?
Ernesto Guevara Lynch.
Huh.
It was, yeah.
That caught me off guard a little bit. I was not expecting a... Yeah.
Yep. And his wife was Cecilia de la Serna. He was born in Rosario, Argentina. He developed severe asthma at the age
of... Wait a minute, what year was he born?
1928.
Okay. Just making sure that Lynch wasn't like a German spelling.
No.
Yeah. It would have been a few years later anyway.
Yeah. He developed severe asthma at the age of 2, which would mean he had to live in a dry climate. So, being that they're from Rosario, they actually had to move north to, like, more towards, like, the desert portion.
Doc Holliday style.
Yeah.
They had to move up to where all the dinosaurs are in Argentina.
Yep.
Because there are dinosaurs in Argentina, if you've listened to our show.
He probably shouldn't have played sports because of his asthma, but he did, just to make a point that he could. He was actually good at rugby. And while growing up, he would actually get the name of Chancho, which means pig.
Yep.
Because of his bohemian lifestyle. He would actually wear the same clothes for weeks, and he would not shower on a regular basis.
Oh, that's pleasant.
He's basically a hippie. A
little shit pig. Yeah. That makes sense to the nickname.
The thing is he actually accepted the nickname of Chancho. He liked it. You know, he embraced it. It is also worth noting that, so this is kind of like a little bit of foreshadowing. Shay was from a middle-of-the-road family, you know, middle class.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. His mother kind of came from, had some money, you know, her family did, and dad's family also had some money, but they kind of decided to, you know, make their own, which, but they still did good, but they were still kind of, you know, they were in that middle class.
Yeah.
So they weren't, you know, poor. Which kind of, you know, which, you would, you know, wouldn't think from a guy who's trying to, you know, do what he did. He would actually go on, he would, you know, growing up, he would actually go on to study medicine at the University of Buenos Aires. He would then, while during his studies, he actually decided to travel around Argentina. And through his travels, he had the feeling of Pan-Americanism, which is a movement that seeks to create, encourage, and organize relationships and associations and cooperation among the states of Americas through diplomatic, political, economic, and social means.
Mm.
So he kind of wanted to bring everybody together. He also gained a hatred for the rich because of the large discrepancy he saw between the classes of the United States. I'm sorry, between the classes and because of the United States. Because they were, he felt from everything that, you know, he must have saw and did, that they were in making too much of an influence. Which, you know, it's not a shouldn't be a surprise to anybody that they did that.
No. We've been fucking around in South America since, yeah. You know.
He actually felt that the U.S. was responsible for South America having such a gap between the classes. I'm not saying it's not true.
All our fault. I mean, some of it, sure, but not all of it.
No. Not true. Not 100%, you know, the U.S.'s fault, but a little bit. In 1952, at the age of 24, he would have a new sense of direction. He would travel to, he'd travel through Argentina, Chile, Peru, Ecuador, Panama, Venezuela, Colombia, and he would go into the United States.
Mm.
Now, I got to say, little disclosure, I only saw that he went to the United States once, that in one particular one source said that he went to the United States once. And this is once again one of those topics where, as I said, I was talking with Kevin about this, like, I don't know, a week before or something, I was like, hey, listen. I'm like, I have no goddamn clue we picked the right person for this, because everything I've seen from Che Guevara has nothing to do with basically being an asshole. And
except for, you know, the concentration camps essentially for gays.
Well,
and
I'm going to say that's we'll get to it. Okay. Let me make my statement because about that, because I'm going to, you know, So, in 1953, he would actually go back to Buenos Aires and complete his medical degree after doing all his traveling. And after observing firsthand the results of the 1952 Bolivian Revolution in La Paz, he would leave for Guatemala to support the socialist president, a former army officer named Jacobo Arbenz Guzman.
Hmm.
In Bolivia, is where he would actually get the name of Che, which was given to him by Cuban political exile Antonio Nico Lopez, who had made fun of him for constantly using the Argentine expression Che, which means hey. Okay, so
okay.
That's where Che comes from, Che Guevara.
So he's Hey Guevara is what you're trying to say. Okay.
Yeah. Man. Che would...
Of all the stupid fucking nicknames we've had on this show, that is definitely one of them.
No. Che would go look back later and think that if those in power had been more forceful in the revolution of Guatemala, that it would actually have succeeded versus not having succeeded.
Mm.
And... this is one of those ones, the Guatemala Revolution was one of those ones that I need to actually look up into, because it revolves around, plantations.
Okay.
And everything. And, how like the U.S. got involved, the CIA, like basically making up shit, saying that, you know, the government at the of the time, which is, you know, would be Guzman, was taking away land, which actually wasn't true. He actually had, given all the land back to the people. Like, people were buying it back.
Yeah.
So there was no, like, land grab that going on.
But were they buying land back that he took from them in the first place?
No.
Huh, okay.
No. He was just, you know, he wasn't just basically, you know, trying to give it back to the people, because it should be for the people. And once again, you know, the United States making false accusations like they, you know, well, will do, you know, coming up soon.
Never. We've never... And never again, fucked over a South American or Central American country.
Yeah, then they'll go across the pond and make up lies again.
No. Yeah. Where? Show me where. Where?
This little place called Vietnam.
Oh, other direction.
Yeah, across the pond.
No, across the pond is Europe.
You can still go across the pond.
It's not. No. Nobody's ever said across the pond and meant fucking Southeast Asia.
Okay, sure. I think it's either way, but
it's not. You're wrong. Stop.
You shut up. So, the revolution fails and everything's going on. He actually tucks his tail between his legs and goes into the Argentine embassy for safety. And from here, he would actually leave and go to Mexico City. And while in Mexico City is where he became more learned, I guess, of the Marxist, communist kind of mentality.
You could use the word indoctrinated, too. But
No, he wasn't indoctrinated. He actually... he learned about all himself. He had it himself. I don't know where you're thinking.
He didn't have professors doing it to him like we do here, though.
Yeah, I don't know where you thought. Where was he getting indoctrinated from? Where do you think?
It could have been anybody.
Okay.
You know, could have been a peer or.
No, he just learned it himself. He just kind of learned about it and fell in love with it. He made up his own mind. And while in Mexico City is where he meets Fidel Castro.
Yay, another piece of shit.
But he met first he met Fidel's brother, Raul.
Justin Trudeau's uncle.
Sure. Yep. He met him first there. And he was actually introduced to Fidel by Nico Lopez. And the you know, him and Castro, they would hit it off very well. Shea had this to say about Castro. Quote, intelligent, very sure of himself, and of extraordinary audacity. I think there is a mutual sympathy between us.
There's mutual something between them.
Yeah. So Castro had left Cuba because his attempt, him and his brother's attempt to overthrow the government their first time, failed like a motherfucker.
Which it should have, because we put that guy in power fair and square.
Yeah. Well, he failed like a son of a bitch. And actually, both of them got captured. I didn't know this. Both got captured. Raul got some kind of leniency or whatever and got let go. And then he went to Mexico. Castro would spend some time in jail. But then I can't remember exactly what happened. Something happened and he was let go. You know, let out. Excuse me. So Castro goes back to Cuba, sets up another attempt of trying to, you know, overthrow the government. And he would actually invite Shea to be a part of the 26th of July movement. And Shea actually would love that. And he accepted it.
Yeah, because he used to go fight fucking capitalism.
Yeah. The first attempt of a coup, you know, so it's actually their second attempt, but with Shea, it's their first. The coup actually was defeated, and they all actually had to flee into the mountains.
Right.
Now, during the time that they spent in the mountains, support was gained, and Shea's respect of the Cubans, or his respect from the Cubans was actually gained even more. Shea would be promoted by Castro to commandant, and he gave him command of two rebel columns.
Okay.
By 1958, Shea would secure numerous towns and defeat several garrison elements. Now, this is... So, Shea, at this point, having joined this guerrilla movement, Shea had never been in the military... At all.
Yeah. So but, it's a good idea to make him a fucking commandant.
But, Shea actually, when he, you know, he went through training and stuff like that, through, you know, Castro and whatever. And, because I don't know what it was, but he actually became like a crack shot. Like he was like really good with a rifle.
A lot of the time it's a, kind of like a natural ability that, you know, firing a firearm is not necessarily a natural thing to do, but some people are just naturals at it.
And being a leader must have been another thing he was a natural at, because he was good at it, but at the same time, he was kind of an asshole about it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where our first bit of assholery comes in.
Yeah. Once you get power, you become an asshole.
It went to his head a little bit, but he kind of mismanagement too. Some of his men would actually, under his command, would actually try to avoid him as much as possible, but there was others that were younger that actually kind of looked at him as like a godlike figure. But they were enamored by him.
Okay.
They, like, really looked up to him.
Had a crush on him because he was handsome.
Sure.
Like, I had such a hard time trying to find a picture of him for the tournament graphic where it wasn't, like, just some commie thirst trap bullshit where he's got, like, no shirt on and his little mustache and stuff. It's like,
yeah,
the fuck out of here.
but those others that kind of avoided him, they avoided him because... they felt he was a harsh leader. And the reason why was because he would punish those who did something wrong. That was really a minor thing.
Yeah.
The punishment that he would give was that he would make it so they couldn't have food for like 3 to 6 days.
Yeah, that sounds like a real asshole thing to do.
Yeah. Luis Rodriguez, a former platoon sergeant that fought in the Sierra Maestra, was arrested at home. Rodriguez described these dreadful times, and this is what he said, quote, things were very disorganized. Every night they would come in with a list. If you were called in late night or early morning, it would mean that you were going to trial. Oh, wait. Stop. Kevin, you're going to have to cut that part where I said about Luis Rodriguez.
Okay.
Just making a note.
Why?
Because you have to, I fucking put it out of order.
Oh, whatever. We'll get to it.
So, Guevara's first assignment was to oversee So, the second movement, coup that they had, because mm-hmm. they gained so much support and gained the support of the locals, the farmers and everything, actually was successful.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we kind of covered that with the Bay of Pigs lead up that we did there.
And it was very successful. Now, one of the guys that was arrested was and had this to say about it, Luis Rodriguez. He had this to say about
the backup shortstop for the Diamondbacks.
Yeah. Being arrested and everything and how what was going on after they had been arrested. Or after the coup had taken place. So this, quote, things were very disorganized. Every night, they would come in with a list. If you were called in late at night / early morning, it would mean that you were going to trial. They would tell you not to carry anything with you. Contrary to if they called your name during the day and you would ask you, to bring your belongings, if you had anything. You knew you would be transferred. But if you were called during the night, it was a different thing. You knew that your life was almost gone.
Yeah, they're going to just straight up fucking kill you instead.
After they called the names of for about an hour or so, nothing happened. Then, all of a sudden, you heard the discharge of several rifles. And after a few seconds, the single shots, coup de grace, sometimes one, sometimes two, even four. All this time, we saw Shay calling us criminals. He would say, all you guys will end up the same way. You deserve it. We were wondering why this guy here was not even a Cuban. He was very arrogant and cold.
Yeah, he's an asshole coming in to tell you how to run your country and then having you executed.
Well, he's not telling you how to run your country, but he's basically admonishing you because you were on the wrong side. You should have been on the right side. You should have fought. You should have gave up and fought for the cause. You shouldn't have been on the side that was, for the capitalist pigs, the Americans.
Mm.
Guevara's first assignment was to actually oversee the executions, like I just stated, at an infamous prison called La Cabana. And this was between...
La Copacabana.
Yep. Yeah. Yes.
Frank Sinatra's carrying out the executions.
At the Copa. Yeah.
So Dean Martin tried a couple, but he was so fucking drunk.
True.
I love the story of that Frank Sinatra said, at one of the roasts, he's like, Dean's the only person I've ever seen get so drunk he picked up a snake and tried to beat a stick to death with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Between 1959 and 1963, approximately 500 men were killed under his watch. Many individuals imprisoned at La Cabana, including human rights activist Armando Valderes, alleged that Guevara took a personal interest in the interrogation, torture, and execution of political prisoners.
I'm sure he did. Yeah. Seems like it's kind of his thing to, you know.
It's said that he ordered the deaths of thousands of innocent people. Now, this is neither confirmed or anything because they do not know if whether, you know, they actually had thousands of innocent people killed.
Funny thing about communists is they don't tend to keep track of how many people they have killed by the state.
Well, I'm going to tell you this much. At this point in time, Fidel Castro is not a communist.
Not yet.
He is.
He's getting there, though.
He's being indoctrinated.
Yes.
Into it.
Yeah.
By Che Guevara.
Yeah.
He's kind of, you know, listening to Che. But at the same time, he is, but he isn't. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Che was actually the one that got the Russians to come to Cuba. It wasn't Fidel that invited them. It was actually, reverse. Because actually, what had happened was Che had gone kind of like on a expedition,
okay,
so to speak. He went traveling and went to different places. And he actually ended up going to Russia.
And he fought in Africa, too.
This was not at this point. It was a little bit.
Yeah, no, I'm saying like in that same general-ish time frame.
He didn't actually ever fight in Africa.
He went to Africa to train, to train communist troops-ish.
Well,
yeah.
And so, yeah, he tried, you know, he kind of did a little bit of traveling, and he actually saw what's his name? Damn it. The leader of Russia at the time.
Gorbachev?
Nope.
Khrushchev?
Khrushchev, yes.
Because I thought Khrushchev was in the 80s.
No. That was Mikhail Gorbachev.
Okay.
No,
Khrushchev was right after Stalin, right?
Khrushchev was the whole reason for the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yeah, okay.
Khrushchev, yeah, and Khrushchev's son kind of like remembered how he felt that that Che was actually like, you know, such a really strong-willed person and well-spoken,
right?
Kind of, he really really liked him.
Okay, so they skipped Malenkov then.
Yeah,
he was only in power for like a hot minute. He was less than a year, 186 days.
Yeah. Well,
then Khrushchev came.
Khrushchev was the one that, you know, was at a thing with, I think it was Khrushchev who's at a thing with not Truman, but somebody, and they were like, yeah, well, we got fucking multiple, you know, nukes, so don't fuck with us.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like a aha moment. And they were like, yeah, we got to do something.
Yeah, we also had something right around that same time frame of Khrushchev being in office. We had something that he didn't have. And there were these neat little things called Davy Crockett's, which were a shoulder-fired nuclear warhead. It was basically a fucking atomic RPG. Or for any of my fellow Fallout companions, it's a high-tech mini nuke launcher.
Yeah.
Instead of being a fucking catapult that just like shot him out, but yeah.
So now at this point in time, so he comes back and everything else. He gets appointed as the Minister of Industries. As the Minister of Industries, Che would forge Cuban's economic policy, despite lacking a background in business, industry, finance, or government.
So again, just winging it.
Yep. In August of 1961, while attending an Organization of American States, the OAS, conference in Uruguay, Che requested a meeting.
It's pronounced Uruguay.
Sure. No.
That's how it's spelled. Sorta.
It's not...
Shut up. It's funny.
He requested a meeting with U.S. delegate Richard Godwin. Or Goodwin. The diplomat told President Kennedy that Shea, quote, wanted to thank us very much for the invasion, that it had been a political victory, and transformed them from an aggressive little country into an equal.
Okay.
So this was after, now this is after the Bay of Pigs.
Yeah.
Where.
Yeah, we fucked up.
It was a botch.
Yeah. We fucked up big style.
Yeah, so we're at the point of the Cuban Missile Crisis, and it was averted. Shea had this to say in regards to the crisis. He said that Cuba had controlled the missiles. If Cuba had actually controlled the missiles, not the Russians, that he would actually have fired them off.
Which would have been a really bad idea.
Yeah.
Because if that had happened... Cuba would not exist.
No.
There would be a smoking hole in the ground where it used to be that was just sucking water now.
So, Shea would actually continue his ranting on December 11th of 1964 at the United Nations when he just absolutely lambasted the U.S. for its imperialist treatment of Latin America and the inequality shown by its own minorities. He said, quote, how can those who do this consider themselves guardians of freedom?
Because we're guarding our freedom. We don't give a fuck about yours.
Yeah, exactly. Which, you know.
Unless you have resources, then we are going to give you freedom real hard.
Yeah, or we're going to, you know, put people in power that are going to, you know, do shit and then... You know, but the people don't really want that. So after becoming somewhat of an embarrassment to Havana, he privately renounced his rank, positions, and Cuban citizenship to Fidel Castro in order to actually get a revolution going somewhere else.
Mm, yeah.
But now, before all this happened, I have to say from... watching what I watched on him, basically a documentary on him, that Shea was very different from what's kind of he's characterized as, where meaning that Fidel, once he got power, it kind of went to his head even more, and he like didn't give two fucks about the people. At all.
No, because he was a full-blown communist at that point in time.
Yeah, but Che Guevara is a full-blown communist.
Yeah.
But Che Guevara is a Marxist, first and foremost.
Potato, potato.
Nope, not potato, potato. Marxism is very different than communism. I'm going to tell you that. Because communism, you know, they don't give two fucks about the people. He went to, you know, he... Marxism is all about the people. The people, you know, do everything. And this guy would actually get out there, and he it was said that during the document that they would actually find him sleeping at his office during, you know, around this time. Like, he'd be just falling asleep at his office. And then he would take... because he was trying to work so hard to get, you know, things in place. And he would actually take, I don't remember how many days it was, a few days a week or something like that, at least. He would actually go out and do manual labor of some sort. He'd actually go out, you know, plow a field or shovel grain. Do, you know, shovel ditches, dig ditches, do what needs to be done to try to better the society, make it, you know, better than what it was or is at the time, because things were kind of tanking a little bit, but he was trying to raise it back up.
Okay.
And so you know, kind of, you know, make things better. Well, he kind of, his mouth got him in trouble a little bit, and kind of, you know, Fidel kind of was like, had a talk with him. He was like, listen, you kind of got to shut the fuck up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Probably a good idea.
Didn't like that he was speaking out that much. And so he kind of goes off. So from April to November of 1965, Shea pushed for his FOCO concepts, but was received indifferently. He blamed his lack of success in Africa on rebel leaders and troops, because describing them as, quote, corrupt by inactivity, lacking revolutionary awareness, and lazy and undisciplined.
Okay, but so he's just going to refuse to give any credit to the Polish fucking mercenary that was down there training dudes and kicked the communist asses across the continent. Rafal Genginowitz that we covered. The dude that Metal Gear Solid-ed his way out of fucking Warsaw on the bottom of a train. Then went to Africa because he's like, fuck communists, I'm going to go here and teach these guys how to fight them.
Well, depends where he went, though.
Oh, their forces had direct contact with each other. 100%. Yeah.
Well.
And then he had to go kill a bunch of cannibals, too, so.
Well, he went to Congo. And,
yeah.
And the Congolese military won.
Yes.
They kicked the fuck out of everybody.
Yeah, the Congolese military was also being trained by the Polish mercenary.
Yeah.
Because they kind of sucked at what they were doing.
But there's a reason why he said this about the revolutionaries, and it wasn't false, because the so-called leaders would actually, you know, and this is from the mouth of a guy who was like Shea's like sergeant.
Okay.
Said that the day that they arrived, the leader of the group arrives. He's piss ass drunk. Okay.
Yeah.
Barks some orders. Has some women with him. You know, he's in a boat and doesn't stay very long, and then just hops out back in the boat and leaves. And also, he arrives there, and Shay's like, okay, he thinks that there's an actual revolution happening. These guys have weapons, and, you know, they know how to shoot, they know everything.
No.
Nope, they have no weapons, don't know how to shoot, they don't want to do anything at all.
No surprise.
I mean, he tries to teach them, they try to do whatever they can, but you can only try to bring a horse to water so many times.
Yeah.
You know, and force them to drink before they just give up. You have to give up and say, okay, fine, you're not going to drink. So that's why he called them all that stuff. So this effort to help the rebels in Congo failed, and he actually would have to... he fled to Prague. And then after going to Prague, he would find himself actually going to Bolivia. And he kind of felt that there, you know, maybe he had heard some things where maybe they could be ripe for a good revolution to overthrow everything.
So he's a shit stirrer.
He kind of found out quickly that Bolivia was no Cuba.
Yeah. He shows up different places, tries to start shit, then when it doesn't start, he leaves and tries to do the same thing.
And the reason why Bolivia wasn't Cuba was because previous to him actually arriving back, getting to the country, because everything at the time was like land and stuff had been like divided up, and it wasn't going back to the people.
Right.
Well, just before he arrived there, things kind of flipped. There was a new, you know, democratic leader, and he was like, okay, you know, let's give this back to these people. let's not take all this corporate land and have it land be corporate. Let's make it the people's land, you know, so they own the land.
Right.
And so Shay kind of, you know, set out to try and, you know, make something happen. All he did was basically ultimately piss off the president of the country.
Yeah.
And so a ranger, well, a top ranger official, I think he was like a colonel or something, would actually end up going down to Bolivia and actually would train a group of Bolivians to actually fight. And they became the Bolivian ranger group.
Like special forces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And they were the ones that actually ended up catching Shay.
Okay.
And they caught him, like, you know, because he was kind of, I think he was going to get caught anyway, because shit was just going sideways for him, like, real bad.
Yep.
And they get into a firefight, and he kind of ends up going away with another guy. They end up getting captured. It was kind of like happenstance. Like, wait a minute, who are you? Oh, wait, you're Shay Guevara.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm not.
You're that asshole.
He's like, no, I'm not. He's like, yes, you are.
Yes, so, you have to be. I've seen your face on all those t-shirts at the fucking Gap.
A little before that. Okay. So, he ends up actually gets captured. They try and decide what they want to do. One of the guys is there. He that's with Shay, the guy that's with him, gets killed. And they think it's actually the guy that's in there has killed Shay Guevara. So they, you know, go flying in, and turns out no, he didn't kill Shay Guevara. He killed the other guy. Well, orders come down, you know, because he has basically said, hey, you know, the U.S. wants me, you know, I'm valuable. Don't kill me. Orders come down, and your goose is cooked, fucker. Guy goes in.
So long, dickhead.
Shoots him multiple times, okay, in this shack. And ultimately, the shot that killed him was a shot to the groin.
Oh, yeah.
Or
yeah.
Abdomen or something.
Yeah.
That kills him.
Honestly, like, said it once, I'll say it again. Somebody comes into your, like, tries to break into your house. Shots to the pelvic bowl are perfectly acceptable.
So now this is the portion where I got to make a case for why he should move on.
Because, like, you know, you think you're big and bad until you take a load of buckshot in the crotch and, you get to bleed out on the floor.
Yeah. So my case for Shay Guevara moving on is kind of weak, I got to say, because all I can say is that he was a very radical man that felt the United States was evil and needed to be booted out of every single Latin American nation. He was a hard ass when it came to leading men on the battlefield, and he dealt out some very harsh punishment. He was one that gave orders to carry out the murders of possibly the murders of 1,000 or more innocent people.
Mm-hmm.
And if he did do that, he kind of deserved the death that he, you know, received.
Yeah.
Now, it's worth mentioning that many sources called him a racist, and many others, if found the research, you know, didn't mention it at all that I listened to. They didn't call him a racist or anything else, so I don't really know where they got their material from, because, I mean, I watched a documentary with a guy that wrote a book on Shay Guevara, and he never once mentioned it, so not quite sure where that all comes from.
Yeah, but that's also one source saying that he wasn't, you know.
Well, a lot of sources say that he was, but they never gave proof. That's my...
But then you have one source that says he wasn't that also doesn't give proof.
Well, he's an author who did his research on him.
Okay, so, yeah, but
I don't know.
Authors are very often biased in one direction or another.
Yeah.
You know? I'm just trying to see. So I can see where we're at time-wise, because I can't see that from here because my eyes suck.
Okay. Well, so yeah. So, I mean, pretty much, I don't really know. And whether it's true or not, who knows? I mean, if he was, okay.
Right.
If he was an asshole at concentration camps, I don't know.
He also didn't like the gays.
Who knows? A lot of people didn't like the gays. I mean, I don't know.
You know, not like putting them in fucking forced labor camps and stuff.
Well, I never see anything that said anything about
I sent you links. You just chose not to look at them.
I looked at every single link. And I didn't find anything that said, it said speculation that he had done that.
Yeah, a lot of shit in history, speculation, so, you know?
Well, once again, I did the research, you didn't. Ha ha ha.
Well, I didn't, but he's just a fucking commie little scumbag, so I automatically don't like him.
Whatever.
You know? I do find it entertaining that most of the people that wear his shirts will also bitch about smashing, you know, capitalism from their fucking iPhone, yeah. You know, with their college education that their parents are paying for. You know,
yeah,
capitalism sucks. Yeah, yeah, I'm sure it sucked growing up in a fucking 30,000 square foot house with your, you know,
yeah,
yeah.
I mean, that's the part that, you know, that's odd about the whole Che Guevara thing is he was that group of people. He was middle class, you know, and everything else.
Grew up with money and so, you know.
Versus, you know, not.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's my part. So now let's take a break and we'll come back and finish this off.
Yeah, right here. All right, so I guess we're just going to talk about the winner of this round then. Jesus Christ, dude. Just because I don't like him doesn't mean you have to throw stuff at me.
Hey.
Fuck's sake.
You can like or not like whoever you want.
Well, I don't like this person that I'm about to talk about. Very rarely do we use the word cunt in reference to a woman. It's an awful thing to call a woman, obviously. I think the only other time we've used it in reference to a woman on this show was a counterpart of this human when we talked about Irma Greece.
Yeah.
And she definitely was. And so is our topic of discussion tonight, Ilsa Koch.
Yeah.
Okay, so she was hatched or spawned or whatever the fuck Nazis do, September 22nd, 1906, in Dresden, which was technically in Saxony at the time. It wasn't part of Germany yet. It was one of the states
of... What year?
1906. This is right around where Germany is like going to actually become a solid country.
They were a country then. They were a country in 18-something.
Very, very, very recently.
They were a young country, like very
young. But
she
was born in Saxony, so.
Okay.
Like that
from my family's
area,
from.
Yeah.
Hey, we could be related.
Probably. And also an area that.
That's why her family, like her, what, whoever, some of her family probably
similar ideology and stuff, so.
Maybe. Some of her family probably fought over here because they're Saxons.
Yeah, yeah. Her hometown also, like. Got its shit pushed in by the British Air Force, so. Yeah. Look up the words firebomb and then Dresden and see what you find.
Yeah.
Pretty not great.
Yeah.
But hey, war's a bitch, you know. And move on. But I guess after you guys have been bombing civilians for a long time, then the British come in and do it, you can't really bitch too much. You know. It's like the meme of that kid on his bike. And he sticks the fucking... The stick and the spoke. Goddamn British, you know, after they've war-crimed all over England. Yeah. Anyway, so her dad was a factory worker, but he was also a retired commander in the military. And her mother, you know, being early 1900s in Germany, she was a homemaker. And little Ilsa was a pretty well-mannered kid. Nothing strange in her childhood. She wasn't, like, abused or beaten or, you know, fingered by a relative or anything like that. Her teachers all said she was pretty normal kid, you know. At the age of 15, she starts into a specialized school for accounting because, you know, they kind of had it right where, you know, you don't have to go through regular ass high school. If now you have a career in mind, go to school for that.
Yeah.
At an early age. Pretty not bad idea.
I think it's still.
No, I think it's a great idea still.
I think it's still like that for a lot of places. Yeah. Like, kids go on to, you know, from high school or whatever at a much younger age than us.
Because, like, if you're fucking 14 years old and you've already decided you want to be a welder, what do you have to sit through English literature for?
True.
That's some stupid shit that's not going to affect your life.
True.
You know? William Shakespeare very rarely comes up in underwater welding.
Yes.
You know? This is kind of a weird time to be an accountant in Germany, though. Because we are still technically in the days of the Weimar Republic. And this is the system of government that would go through World War One.
Yeah.
And then after World War One, you know, we have people bringing literal wheelbarrows of money, of fucking marks to the store to buy bread and a newspaper because their money was worth less than the paper is printed on.
Because France wanted to be a fucking touch hole.
Well, you know what? They kind of started it, so.
No.
Somebody
being shot started it.
Yes, but you can't side with. You can't bitch about your circumstances if you're on the losing end of a war.
It's true.
You know, especially one that essentially you were the only one fighting on your side because everybody else fucking ran off at the mouth, you know, fucking chirping from the bench, and you're the one out there actually doing shit. So you're the one that's going to get the sanctions put on you the most because you're the one actually fighting.
But it was, ultimately it was, you know, because.
Yeah, it was some dickhead killed in a car. Yeah.
The French and Germans just fucking don't like each other.
But yeah, yeah.
They had to have a whole fucking section, you know, between the two that was like the League of Nations or whatever. I believe it was them. Or
they had to dig a trench between them and fucking England because they don't like each other.
They were like, hey, fucking, you know, all right. This is neutral land this was land that you once had. Now they have, and now it's, you know, whatever.
Well, we're about to come into part in time where Germany's going to have it back. We're heading into the 1930s.
Yes.
And you know what that means. It's Nazi party time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So get out your hats and blowers and stuff.
Nazi social, blah, 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 yeah. Blah, blah.
So she joins up in 1932 with a bunch of her friends, all kind of young, disillusioned Germans.
Yep.
Wanting a change. You know, yeah, because, yeah, anyway.
Heard about the new chancellor in charge.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and
the up-and-coming hotness, you know, yep. Adolf Hitler.
Yep.
Because he's going to bring change.
Hey, I will say, that motherfucker could speak.
He could only speak because he had a paid speech pathology coach. That taught him how to actually speak publicly, clearly, and
that motherfucker earned his money then.
Yeah, there's a lot of speculation as to who hired that coach too. Who knows? A lot of it that I've seen thinks it is a member of the Rothschilds family.
Okay.
Who were also feeding money into the British government and the French government.
They're all related.
These are the motherfuckers that have been making money off war since basically the dawn of time.
I mean, the guy was the leader of the last fucking, you know, when it was World War One, Kaiser Wilhelm was the fucking queen's cousin.
Right, correct. But no, what I'm saying is like the Rothschilds are, you know.
I know, they're like, related.
These are the people Windsors that made all of their goddamn money off of the Battle of Waterloo. Because they sent people in opposite directions to tell each side that they had won, you know, and then they fucking, yeah.
Mama raised no fool.
They're cooking the books on both ends is what they were doing.
Did they get caught?
No, but they probably should have because they fucked the rest of the world up ever since then.
True. I mean.
And every time one of them dies, I have like a private little party in my head and like, yeah, fucking right.
Not the only ones. There's more, but you know. Yeah.
Like when George Soros finally dies, that'll be a good day too. Fucking scumbag.
Yeah.
He ratted out his own people during World War II. He could have been on the list, but if he had been on this list for the tournament, nobody would have fucking touched him. Because he's a literal supervillain. And that's just from the shit that we can actually prove about him. He's a actual supervillain. Like, the fuck was it? Spectre, the organization in the James Bond movies, is based off of him. There is, like, people that have written the movies have gone, yeah, we based them off of him as the head of the organization. Yeah. Like, he makes the rest of these fucking guys that we think, you know, pull all the strings everywhere look like, you know, kids.
True.
You know, anyway. Yeah, so they are all, you know, on board for Hitler because he's running on a thing of, you know, promoting change.
Yeah.
What he really meant was demographic change. We're running on the platform of less gypsies, less blacks, less handicap, and of course, less Jews. Because, you know, yeah.
I mean, it was also, there was also, he also wanted economic change, too.
Yeah, and you do that because by getting rid of a bunch of fucking people.
Well.
Especially if you've convinced yourself that they run the economy.
Yeah. He did, but that wasn't, like, until a little bit after he got into office. Well, he had to start off somewhere. He started off with, you know, the lesser people.
My only issue with the Jews is, like, they won't let me use the space laser or the weather control machine. It's like, I'd like to know which one of them's, like, fucking with it this weekend, because 7 inches of snow, like, in almost April, like, really?
I don't fuck out of here. I don't think it's them.
They're the only ones with weather machines.
Listen, it's Zionist propaganda.
Is it, though?
It is.
Is it?
Yep.
Because I'm pretty sure it would have been, like, white supremacists that came up with all that dumb bullshit, but...
Nope.
Those are my two favorite conspiracies against the Jews, though, is the space lasers and the weather control. Love it. I think it's fucking hilarious. And guess what? Guess who else finds most of it pretty funny? Jews.
I think it's just stupid. But...
It's stupid, but it's funny. To just think that there's just this dude somewhere... with a fucking space laser that he's just like, I can do this wherever I want. You know?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's fun.
It's like Adolf Hitler thinking that...
It's like, you're trying to tell me if they had a space laser, they wouldn't have just already fucking, like, carved Palestine off and let it float out into the sea? They had the technology, they would have done it. Just saying.
I don't know, maybe.
You know?
I mean, it's the same theory that, like, it's almost like the same theory that, you know, the Romans had, you know... And also, what Hitler had was basically that, you know...
I don't think the Romans thought they had space lasers.
No, the Romans thought that, you know, they were the money launderers, and they were, you know, hoarding all the money, and because they, you know, basically they were the money men, women, whatever, money men.
Yeah, it was women? Come on now.
No, money men. And that's why they were like... listen, we gotta fucking do something about this. We're gonna send all you motherfuckers somewhere else.
Yeah, except for that one. Like, he gonna get it.
Well, his own people, you know, did him in on that. But,
they sold him out. They didn't kill him. They sold him out. Yeah.
Hey. Yeah, they kind of, I mean, they...
Yeah.
They kind of forced the,
like,
you know,
like I said, we're gonna send all of you out, except for that one. Like,
well, yeah,
we're going to make an example out of him.
I mean, well, and the other two that were...
Yeah, they don't count. They're not the ones we're looking for. These are not the Jews you're looking for.
Yes. These are not the Jews.
I was going to say Heebs, but that's kind of mean.
Whatever.
Yeah. Fucking Obi-Wan Kenobi. These are not the Jews you're looking for. These are the Jews we're looking for.
It's only a religious term.
Move along. Move along. Fucking Romans just, you know, sandaling back along out of, away from the fucking cruiser.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know what happened, but, you know, we're somewhere else. Now.
That'd be another one, though. It's like, Obi-Wan Kenobi is a Jew. He's got mind powers.
No. Only Jawas.
And whatever the fuck, what's his name from, Phantom Menace? The flying blue guy with the giant nose.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, he was also like a giant, like, slap in the face Jewish stereotype. You
yeah.
know? Big nose, fucking.
Yeah.
Super cheap, trying to sell everything under the sun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. George Lucas probably got some shit for that one.
Probably, but maybe not.
Yeah.
I mean, we're probably going to get. I'm probably going to get shit.
I have no problem with Jews. I have no problem with anybody, really, other than, you know, like I've said before, French Canadians can eat every square inch of my ass.
Jews are just it's just a religion. Everybody has to stop fucking calling them a ethnic race. They're a religion.
No, they're not. They're not a race. They're, yeah.
It's a religion. Judaism is a religion.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Muslims aren't a race either.
No.
Arabs are. Because that's, you know, your flavor of wherever the fuck you came from. The
Arabians.
Yeah, exactly.
Arabian, no.
Some of my favorite people that I think are fucking hilarious are Jews. So, you know. And they, who makes fun of Jews more than the Jews? Fucking nobody. That's who. So.
True. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, she's on
speaking
her...
Speaking of Jews, they're about to have it real bad right now. So this plan is to basically turn the German people on the Weimar government. This is Hitler's game plan here, which, you know, he blamed the Weimar government for the loss of in World War One.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, also blamed the Jews for it because it was their fault because, you know, Kaiser Wilhelm was a Jew, clearly. Right. You know, famously related to the other Jews that run England.
Yeah.
I know you're not supposed to use the word anymore. Hitler might have been really fucking stupid. Okay?
He was stupid.
Yeah. I don't like using the R word, but he was really fucking dumb.
Yeah.
So the other thing is he was going to get out of the Treaty of Versailles, which is what essentially gutted the German military after World War One.
It did.
It did.
Was it essentially? It did.
It cut the nuts right off the German military.
They said, you will not have a military. You will not have anything.
I don't think they were allowed to have like a
nothing.
They had a police force. That was about it.
Yeah,
but like,
you could have that. That's not military. That's not like
well,
not having troops on the
here
ground.
Here it is, but
not yeah. No troops. No ships.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. So while all of this stuff is going on, getting a little long in the tooth with this whole Nazi bullshit. 1936. Our girl. Ilse meets her husband, love of her life, the light of her life, Carl Otto Koch. These two are scumbags cut from the same cloth. Okay. This piece of just dog shit. He was a colonel in the SS. Like, as soon as the SS became a thing, he was, like, in.
He had the money.
Card-carrying member. He could also prove his fucking lineage all the way back. Like, you're supposed to. It was, like... It's like 16 generations or some bullshit. You had to have paperwork, you know, your pedigree to prove how Aryan you were or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's some, yeah. It's fucked up how they did it. Like,
Kochs are still fucked up anyway.
But
so.
Because if you couldn't prove your Aryan lineage, you could not be in the SS. You had to prove it, you know?
Yeah.
And I know, you know, most people are going to think, oh, all German soldiers were Nazis. No. No, they weren't. Most of them, like the fucking Wehrmacht guys, were just dudes that got drafted.
Yep.
The SS, on the other hand, were absolutely no questions asked, real life, honest to goodness Nazis. Like,
yeah,
they were the bad guys.
Yeah.
Like, the dude that your fucking grandfather went back to Germany and hung out with 30 years later, went fishing... He was just a kid that got sucked into it, just like our guys did. You know? Yeah, you had some absolute true believers, and they were in the SS, in the SA, which was previous to the SS and got folded in, yada, yada, yada.
They were the brown shirts.
Yeah, with fucking Heinrich Himmler, that little shitbag.
They were the pool hall poosh.
Yeah, they were the secret police.
Yes.
Yeah. So, he works his way up the chain pretty quickly and becomes the commandant of the Sachsenhausen concentration camp, which is one of the big ones, like one of the big five. Was Sachsenhausen was right up there. This place is about 20 miles outside of Berlin. Sachsenhausen was its first real influx of prisoners, in air quotes, that I'm hopefully you guys can see from here. Began right after Kristallnacht.
Yep.
Which, you know, not a great thing. We might have to do like a full episode coverage on that because that was the whole leading up to that and what happened. And yeah, not great. Not a good time. Unless you were a Nazi, then it was, you know, just another day at the fucking office.
Or you're just a people.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the people at that point were very, very much on board with, hating the Jews.
Yeah.
A lot of the people.
Yeah, but, like, when you whip up people into a frenzy and you get them behind something, that can happen with anything.
But the problem was, is that still at that point, Kristallnacht, you know, Night of the Long Knives or whatever, where everything, the fucking places got wrecked and smashed. Yeah. The Jews still, because most of them were still German,
mm-hmm.
were like, whatever. Yeah. You know, I mean, yeah, they were pissed.
Because they were German first. They were Germans.
Yeah.
They weren't Jewish Germans. They're German Jews.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, who could trace their lineage.
And they're like, why the fuck are you doing this? Like, I'm one of you guys. We went to school together, you dickhead.
Yeah. I mean,
you do this, you get no more fucking bagels. And you know how good bagels are?
Exactly.
You're not going to be able to get a good goddamn bagel here until the 1970s, probably. Who knows? Maybe they still don't have good ones now.
I have no fucking
I don't know.
Though.
I know all the people that were making the good ones got sent to fucking camp.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they even, like, even once they got into the, got forced into the, to the ghettos.
Yeah.
You know, they were, like, still saying, they're, you know, well, not at that point, but, like, when they, you know, when they were getting more work down, they still said, hey, we're not going to take our weapons. Well, guess what?
Yeah, yeah.
They took their weapons.
Guess what happens after you give up your guns?
And then you give up your rights, and then you're forced into a ghetto. And then what happens after that?
They gas your ass.
Then they get put in a fucking, transferred out of there because they're like, hey, we can't, you know, do much here. Well, we're going to get rid of your ass, and you're going to Auschwitz. You're going to Dachau.
Learn from history.
You know, you're going to go to all these other places when you're not going to come back alive.
No,
probably.
No, you're not. So that was in 1938, the first big influx. About 10,000 Jews were rounded up from Berlin, Hamburg, Mecklenburg, and Pomerania and sent to Sachsenhausen. Upon arrival, the number's a little fuzzy. Like, low end, it's 450. High end, it's about 900. Were murdered as soon as they got off the trains.
Yep.
Like, gun, like, put against a wall, essentially, and fucking murdered.
Yep.
Just because they were there.
Yeah.
You know.
They streamlined it at Auschwitz. They just, like, got them off the train and put them in the shower.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the Germans are a very efficient people. You know. So, at first, those who could get out of the country were eligible to be released. So, like, if you could prove, hey, I've got family in France, England, wherever. Go, get out. We won't kill you. If you can get out of our, if you can basically get out of our face, we won't hurt you.
Yeah.
That didn't last real long, though.
And that was when we basically had an influx of, you know, German Jews and coming here.
Could you imagine saying, I have family in Poland, and they go, okay, see ya, get out. Just to get there. And for that, at that point in time, for them to go, yeah, man, we just don't want you guys around, like, period.
Yeah, like, not too long after.
Full stop, end of sentence, we don't want you around.
Yeah, because then they want, you know, by the time they invade Poland, it's, you know.
Well, they would have already invaded Poland at this point, 1938. I think that was, like, 1930, it was right after Hitler took over, so it was, like, 36, 37, they invaded Poland.
I don't know, maybe, I don't know.
So the camp's inmate population kind of fluctuated between 11,000 and 48,000 during World War II. A rough number is about 200,000 people passed through the gates at Sachsenhausen, of which about 100,000 of them died. So it's a 50% death rate if you went to this fucking place. Mainly from, you know, lack of care, like being able to take care of yourself, dying from simple, regular diseases, executions and being worked to death, obviously.
It was the year after this that they invaded.
So it was 1939? Okay.
Yeah.
And most of the people that were being worked to death were being worked to death in armament factories, so making, you know, shells and stuff like that.
Herbert Mock Fry.
No, not here.
No, it was in Auschwitz.
Yeah. Oh, believe me, I got the gate translations for you, and they're not any goddamn better. They'll piss you off just as much. So many more that were, you know, they were transferred to other camps. Then in 1943, they apparently had some extra money kicking around, and that's when they opened the crematorium. But the crematorium was only used, quote, by special order, which meant, like, Jews exist here. Let's kill them with gas instead. Mm-hmm. 1937, the Kochs are transferred to Buchenwald.
Mm.
Because they're now married at this point in time, so you can't transfer just one. They both have to go. The iron gate that led into the camp read, Jedem das Seine, which translates to each his own, but was intended as a message to the prisoners to basically say, everyone gets what they deserve. Let that sink in for a fucking second.
Yep.
Yeah. You get what you deserve because we decided, like, collectively, that you're not people.
Yeah.
So, spoiler alert, the Nazis were kind of assholes. Like, they were the bad guys.
Yeah.
Ilse, for her opportunity she's given here, she jumps at the chance to get involved with hubby's work. And over the next few years, she gained a reputation for being one of the most feared people, not just like guards or anything, one of the most feared people at Buchenwald. First order of business was, she's obviously they're not letting people keep their money when they come in here, you know, and all that goes to the commandant because it's his camp.
Yeah.
So they acquire somewhere in the neighborhood of $65,000 at that point, like in that money, which is over $1 million in today's money. And they construct their nice, like big, like mansion on the grounds, not outside of the camp. They built their mansion within the walls of the camp.
Yeah.
And they also built her a pretty sizable indoor sports arena for her to ride her horses. Because she has hobbies, you know.
Wow.
You gotta have hobbies.
Of course.
Yeah.
You can't kill people every day, all the time.
Oh, you sure can. But that's not a hobby. That's work.
Like I said, you still can't kill people all the time.
You know, was it Mark Twain? If you, you know, love what you do and you won't work a day in your life. Yeah. So they had a passion for this. Like this was so she'd often take her horse riding, her little her hobby here, outside of the arena and into the camp itself.
Oh wow.
She would, you know, any prisoner that looked at her, she would order them, like if they made direct eye contact with her, even accidentally, they're like, oh hey, there's a horse. Hey, there's a whore on it. They made direct eye contact with her. She would order them over and she would fucking whip them across the face, the back, the chest, wherever she could get them with her riding crop. Just because she's a bitch like that.
Yeah.
Survivors of the camp recalled later during her trial that she always seemed particularly excited about sending children to the gas chamber. Yeah. So her other hobby that become a major point of, I guess, contention would be the word to use, that came up a lot during the Nuremberg trials was her interior design choices that she made. She was really into, she got really into leather work. Including lampshades and book covers and gloves and, riding pants and stuff like that. And they were made from the highest quality, softest, most supple Jew and gypsy skin you could get your hands on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Some other witnesses later recalled that she often took her horseback rides through the camp to scout out prisoners that had distinct tattoos. because, you know, we can't just have plain leather kicking around, can we? We got to spice it up. Get some color in this shit.
Oh, yeah.
Some line work, you know?
Fucking, why not?
Yeah. Like, you know, you got a lampshade with some, like, Celtic knots or, you know, some tribal tattoo of a white dude that's never been in a tribe of anything.
Yeah.
You know? A couple of butterflies, a heart with mom written in the middle of it.
Damn, you know, right.
Or a Mutter, probably, being German. Yeah. Oh, God, she's a fucking piece of shit.
Or it says Oma or Opa.
Yeah. Yeah. The prisoner would then be stripped of their skin, sometimes while they were still alive, and then incinerated. Yeah. Not even in the gas chambers. We already took your skin off. Like, now we got to get it over with quick. That's just cruel and unusual not to.
Exactly.
Fuck, where did I leave off here? What a piece of shit. I'm irritated. So a lot of the tattooed skin wasn't necessarily used for, like, lampshades or anything like that.
Yeah.
If it had a really cool design that she liked, it would be treated and then framed and then hung around the house. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Look at this. This is a fucking Greenberg. I don't know. Probably 30-ish year vintage on it. Yeah. A lot of this shit was actually found when the camp was liberated. So could you imagine being the dude? Just some, like, fucking 17-year-old kid from Iowa wandering through this place and like, wow, look at all this shit. I'm going to take some. What the fuck is that? That's human skin in a frame. Just puke your guts out on the floor. Yeah.
Yeah, I always, yeah, like, you know, you mentioned that. I always go back to think of, you know, something like that gets mentioned. I think about Banner Brothers scene where they go into that camp for the,
yeah,
the prisoners that are,
yeah,
all magicians, and
Leibowitz is the is the only one that can actually talk to him.
Yeah,
because they're not speaking German; they're speaking Yiddish.
Yeah,
yeah. Ooh. And yeah, that scene will fucking choke you up.
Yeah. That was a rough one.
Hey, Bubba. Go sleep. Okay. Let's see here. Shit. Okay. So, her and her husband are arrested August 24th, 1943, at Buchenwald on charges of embezzlement and murdering prisoners. They were arrested by the SS. They were not arrested by U.S. forces. Okay? That's how bad these two pieces of shit were, that the Nazis saw them and went, oh, that's a bad look. We got to get rid of these people. Wouldn't the fucking Nazis think you're a bad guy? You're a bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, there's really not much question about that.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. So, despite the mass murder, you know, all this other shit was going on, they found that their methods of how they were going about things didn't stand up to the German ideology as to how things needed to, how business needed to be taken care of. So it's also alleged that Commandant Koch had ordered the execution of the orderly that diagnosed him and treated him for syphilis, because he didn't want the secret getting out that he was sick. It's kind of fucked up. Frau Koch, on the other hand, she'd been shopping around. She's, you know, going down to the dick market and seeing what's hanging up in the windows.
Yeah.
Something about Nazi women, they'll fuck anybody, you know. But it's pretty commonly thought that, she wasn't necessarily cheating on him because it was kind of an open relationship.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're very progressive, the Nazis.
Of course.
So while the Commandant was sentenced to death a week before Buchenwald was liberated, she was acquitted, mostly due to lack of evidence. specifically that investigators could not prove that the lampshades and other items were actually made from human skin. She insists that it was goat skin. I don't think there's a lot of goats floating around with fucking tattoos, though. But I could be wrong.
Huh.
So following the camp's liberation in 1945, word would travel about her involvement and how sadistic she was as survivors were giving interviews to the guys that were liberating them from the camps. The public, the German public, actually pressured the court to bring her to trial again. She's brought before the German military government court for the trial of war criminals in 1947, so Nuremberg. On the stand, she announced that she was 8 months pregnant, which came as a shock for a couple of reasons. First of all, she hadn't had any contact with any males other than the American interrogators. Many of them, many of those were Jews, because their families had come over from Germany previously, like probably after World War One. So they kind of spoke the language. So sent them in as interrogators. And, the other reason that it was kind of weird that she's saying that she's 8 months pregnant is because she's fucking 41 years old at this point in time. Not necessarily impossible, but usually a woman in her 40s getting pregnant is kind of a little rare back then, at least. Now we have all this other crazy shit that, you know, you can get pregnant in your fucking 60s if you really want to.
Well, if you haven't gone through menopause.
Correct. But still, 41 being pregnant, you also run into a lot of potential complications with births. And believe it or not, I've seen some studies where they say women having, you know, women getting pregnant after like, I think it was like 38 or 39, increase in a birth defect or potential autism, stuff like that, like triples, which is kind of fucking weird. I don't know. It's like, I know that when women are born, they have all the eggs that they'll ever have in their body at that point in time. But it's like, I don't know what causes that. It's a weird thing, but I'm not a scientist, you know.
I know.
So despite being pregnant, she's charged with, quote, participating in a criminal plan for aiding, abetting, and participating in the murders at Buchenwald. And she was sentenced to life in prison for violations of laws and customs of war. She had birthed one son with her husband before their arrest. And the second child, who's technical bastard, because we don't know who the father was born in prison. Both of her kids went to foster homes. I mean, the first one, like, not in for hurting kids. That's bad genetics, though. Like, delete this one. Yeah, both of your parents were fucking Nazis, like sadistic pieces of shit.
It's kind of your fault.
Yeah, but still,
it's not their fault.
Yeah. Mental illness is fucking hereditary, though.
It's not saying they're mentally ill.
You have to be to fucking think that gassing, you know, 100,000 people is okay.
Yeah, but still, who knows what the kid... The kid might not be...
Not nature and nurture.
Not every fucking kid turns out to be Dexter, okay?
Nature and nurture. You're being raised by fucking Nazis. You're probably going to have some real shitty outlooks on life with things. You know? Look at all these pictures of fucking kids that, like, you know, 3 or 4 year old kids in you know, Klan robes. You think that's going to grow up to be a well-adjusted human? Probably fucking not.
Well, at 3 and 4, you're fucking, you know, you think you're a fucking ghost.
Yeah, but
so,
still.
I mean, you know, once you realize, put 2 and 2 together, let's go a little bit ahead of time, you know, maybe by the time you're like 10, 8, 9, 10, something like that.
But then, if your parents are still in it, then you're going to still be in it, you know?
Yeah, but how, you know, this
you're not
kid
you're not born a racist piece of shit. You're raised to be one.
Yeah, but like this kid.
Well, their first child was raised by them.
Okay.
So like, yeah, he's gonna
How old was he when, you know?
I don't know. I don't really care. He's probably dead, and I'm okay with that at this point. You know?
He didn't do a goddamn thing.
Yeah,
but,
he's a Nazi.
Okay.
Fuck him.
I don't think he was a Nazi, but okay.
So 2 years after her conviction, her sentence was reduced to 4 years by General Lucius Clay, who is the interim military governor of the American zone in Germany, so mm-hmm. West Germany. And according to Clay, the reduction came, quote, since there was no convincing evidence that she selected inmates for extermination in order to secure tattooed skin or that she possessed any articles made of human skin. Really, dickhead? Like, really? You don't think that she selected people to have them fucking executed? Of course she did. You yeah. know? You will address me by my husband's rank. I'm pretty sure you can say the same thing in fucking German. You know? Nobody was going to tell her no if she picked somebody to go to the gas chamber.
Yeah.
The court maintained, obviously, that, you know, so, you know, maybe it was actually goat skin, you know, because that's what she says it was. So it's her word against what we think it probably actually is, you know. However, the general stated, quote, I have no sympathy for Ilse Koch. She was a woman of depraved character and ill repute. She has done many things reprehensible and punishable, undoubtedly, under German law. We were not trying her for those things. We were trying her as a war criminal on specific charges.
Yep.
Yeah, but if you know, you go on a fucking rampage and you kill a bunch of people, you know, you're still going to get not just tagged with murder. You're going to get tagged with, you know, carjacking, you know, reckless, you know. Use of a firearm, shit like, they're going to pile little charges on top of you. They're going to help you go to prison forever. So we're going to just cut her back down. And this guy sucks. Four of the witnesses testified that they had seen her select prisoners specifically because of their tattoos, or that she had been involved in manufacturing of human skin shade lamps, which had happened, you know, due to lack of evidence, this charge was eventually dropped. Even though we have fucking witnesses that were there that say, yes, we saw her pick someone specifically because of a fucking tattoo. And not the one that we all got. You know. Just, these were other ones that people had before. These weren't, you know, the ones that,
Yeah.
The ones that we all got when we went to camp.
Weren't numbers.
Yeah. On January 15th, 1951... the court gave its verdict in a 111-page decision, which she was not present for. She was convicted of, quote, charges of incitement to murder, incitement to attempt murder, and incitement to the crime of committing grievous bodily harm, and again sentenced to life imprisonment with permanent forfeiture of any civil rights. Good. Fuck her to death. During her time in prison, she petitioned for appeal several times, but was basically told to piss up a rope each time. Because guess what, bitch? You ain't got civil rights. Fuck you.
Yeah. You done fucked up.
She even protested to the International Human Rights Commission, which, again, you don't have any more rights. You dumb bitch, knock it off. Shut up. Just sit in your corner and die. Please. Again, those were all rejected. While she was in prison, her first son... I don't fucking know.
Sure.
He was the one that had
Uwe.
Okay, either way. So he's the one that had been conceived while she was at Dachau. He finds out that, hey, she's my mom. So he goes to visit her in prison. And does pretty frequently over the next couple years. Pretty sure if I found out my mom was a fucking war criminal, I don't think I'd take lay claim to her. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's your mom. I get it. But she was also, like, turning people into fucking bed sheets and stuff, so maybe not the person you want to associate with. You know?
Yeah, I don't know.
People find out that their dad was a serial killer back in the 70s, and they change their goddamn last name and vanish into the system.
Yeah. You
know? Look at BTK's family. Nobody knows where the fuck they are anymore. Because they're like, and they ran away. You know, like rational human beings would. So over the next few years, he would continue to visit her in prison while she's serving her life sentence. And on September 1st, 1967, she took the easy way out. She hung herself with her bed sheets.
Well, I figured that's what the easy way was.
And when old boy shows up to, you know, have a visit with mom, he was shocked to find out that she was dead. And he was actually very upset about it. I don't care. Fuck your mom. I'm glad she's dead. She's a fucking bitch. She was buried in an unmarked grave, and no one was allowed to attend a service for her. So they just dug a hole and chucked her fucking ass in it.
Well, fuck.
So that was the bitch of Buchenwald, Elsie Koch. I think it made a pretty substantial argument throughout this entire thing. So,
I'm if you I know you can't see it, but I waved the white flag.
Yeah.
At the lampshades.
Yeah, he had to go back to his house to get towels to throw in because he threw all mine in already. So.
Yeah, I mean, at the lampshades and the artwork, I was like, yeah, surrender.
So she's moving on.
I was like, I the French, you know?
Yeah. Let's see, I gotta get back to a picture of the bracket that I have because I gotta figure out who she goes up against next. Hold on here, I know right where it is. I have to use Damon as a reference because his picture is the last one I can find of the bracket. So she's gonna, oh Jesus H. She moves on to the next round, the semifinals. She moves on to the quarters to face the number 4 seed, Muhammad Farah Ayadid.
Oh,
that's gonna be a dog fight.
Yeah,
because like he wasn't making lampshades, but. He was also a very bad person.
Starving the fuck out of people.
Yeah. Weaponizing food.
Yeah, for you know. No good.
Yeah. Because he was a dickhead. Like, yeah. There you go. He was a dickhead.
Yeah.
So, next week's matchup, it's going to be tight, but I think I'm going to come out on top again. Because next week we have Klaus Barbie and Fritz Haber going up against each other. Okay. Klaus Barbie being a rotten, rotten asshole piece of shit of a Nazi. But Fritz Haber, we're gonna nickname him. He's gonna be Fritz the Enabler Haber.
Well, I don't know anything about Klaus Barbie, and
we're gonna do some learning.
We're gonna fucking find out because guess what?
Boy.
You might be surprised, motherfucker. You might find out shit that you don't know nothing about. You might just think you know everything, but you might not.
It's, from what I know of Fritz Haber, this is a, I learned it from watching you, Dad, kind of situation. So, we'll see. We'll see where it goes. But, anyway, before we go.
Don't knife hand me.
Headphones.
No. You're, Patreon.
Oh, patreon.com/darkwindowspodcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We never fucking, we never plugged it.
I kind of forgot to.
Yeah, like, we forgot.
I get a little hot because we're talking about a piece of shit communist, and we talked about a piece of shit Nazi bitch, so.
Whatever.
You know.
Other one, Patreon. Oh, man, Patreon. Sorry. Studio. Go over, check them out. Studio.com. They got Bluetooth speakers, and they got Bluetooth
Earbuds.
Whole bunch of them.
Yep.
Whole bunches. Find what you want. Put it in your basket. Go to checkout. Put the promo code of DarkWindows15 to get 15% off your entire purchase. Also, go find us on any of your social platforms that you have. That's for you downloading this lovely podcast. Yep. Rate, review, and subscribe. Rate, review, please. Also,
you can leave us reviews on Facebook too.
Yeah,
and if you leave us a review on Facebook with a suggestion in it, we'll try to get that done as soon as possible. As long as it's not something that's like, a fucking like multi-part thing that's going to be crazy. You can't like, hey, these guys are okay, 5 stars. I want the fucking French Revolution. Come on.
Viva la France.
That's a big one. Like that's a
That's multi-part, multi-person.
Yeah. But if you're like, hey, these guys are all right, five stars, I want the Flying Hussars, I can make that shit happen.
Okay? I mean, yeah. Because
they are wild. That's going to be a fucking fun one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We're on Facebook, Instagram.
That's it.
Yeah, we'll mention Twitter.
We're on Google. Google Gmail.
Yeah,
Google Mail.
Google Mails.
Yep.
You know, Dark Windows Pod is our, at Gmail is our.
That's our googlemail.com.
Yes. That's the Googles.
Yep.
Go find us out. And,
You find both of our stupid asses, like, on Facebook, too, but.
You know it.
You know. If you really want to talk to us, but, I mean, I don't want to talk to us, so.
They talk to you more than they do me, so.
It's not my fault.
Hey, it's not my fault either.
I don't know what to tell you, man.
Oh. Anyway, just because you can't see in the dark, out in the dark. No. What? Yeah, let's try it again. Just because you can't see out into the dark doesn't mean the dark can't see into you.
Nailed it.
Until next week. Bye-bye.